चलाया है, ये इस पर जबरदस्ती लगाई जा रही है 20 साल से कम उम्र के बच्चों को।
Kids, they love you, okay? They're ready for school. And they're ready for mama. So far today, it is the 12th. I had 4 seizures. I had 6 yesterday, 13 the day before. Feeling really tired. Still having to try and be a mum for these young babies. I also have 2 older children who I'm trying to support who struggle with autism. It's really intense. I had a breakthrough with the GP yesterday. She finally, I think, believes that it's not stress related.
Hi, this is Casey Hodgkinson. I'm updating about my situation. So firstly, I'd like to address some accusations and everything. So people have accused things like, oh, this is fake, this is, you know, made up. No. I wish it was. I'm in constant pain with this. So So people have been like, how are you able to type with your shaking all the time? So videos you've seen are of me flaring up. So they're my attacks. I have episodes where I cannot move, I can't hold anything, my whole body's going off. What we've learned with this whole process is I get overly agitated and restless. So I need to move a lot more. I still get spasms, mostly in my neck. So those ones are quite painful, and in my shoulders. But when I have flare-ups, it can go throughout the whole body. You know, it just comes in waves, really. And so, yeah, I don't appreciate the accusations. This is my journey, and it's been painful. It's been endless at this point. I'm trying to find help. Just recently was in the hospital, and I was completely let down again. The doctors aren't willing to listen. They hear vaccine injury and they look the other way, is how I can sum that up. They won't listen to people like me who have been injured by this vaccine, by this poison, as I like to call it. I don't really recall much of my time in the hospital. I was disorientated, quite bad. I'll let my partner just inform you about that experience, and because my memory has been just not right. I can remember pieces, but it's fuzzy at the moment for me, a lot of bits. So I'll just get Stefan.
Look, I had to take her in because she was having like quite a bad episode. It was like her mind like slipping out on us. She was like that for like, I don't know, over 12 hours, like I don't know, like 24 hours, and she kept freezing as well, like, so she'd like just kind of freeze like a statue, and that was starting to happen like every like 2 minutes she'd kind of be like a little bit like she'd just be like very disorientated, and then she'd just freeze, and then she'd like shock herself back into it, and I'd just come out of it, and that just was just happening like just endlessly. Like throughout most of the time towards the end until towards the end, she was like just disorientated. She's, you know, she's kind of got her back home now, and she's kind of returned to a little bit more normal. Like, well, you know,
a lot more lucid.
Yeah, lucid.
Yeah.
But she is having these like freezing episodes now. We don't really know what to call it. Like I say, the doctors really wouldn't say much of anything, and we've asked them, you know, about. Know about all of this, and there's really they're not really going into too much detail as far as what can be, you know.
Yeah, I've been let down quite bad by this system, honestly. The government and the hospitals are letting down people real bad at the moment, especially people going everyone I am. It's not fair. We're just people who are hurt, you know? We're just hurt. And we just want help. We're not asking for anything else. We just want help and to be heard and make things aware for others so this doesn't happen to anyone else. I don't want this happening to anyone else. This is painful. You can't believe me. That's your choice. Okay, I leave you with love and light. Honestly, I do. No matter what you believe or where you go in life, I leave you with love and light. Sorry. The doctors have been treating me like this, like nothing. They won't listen, and I know other doctors who would. But now I have to go my other way, not able to trust the public health system. Because I don't know what we're doing with the government at the moment, but it seems like it's all connected. They're not listening. I doctors not able to look me in the eyes when I asked them about things like the vaccine. They wouldn't look me in the eye. They wouldn't say anything. It's corrupt. I don't know what to say. We are just people in pain and people who want help, and we have our rights to be helped, and yet you want to push us away like we're nothing, like this isn't happening. It's time to wake up. It's time to realize this is happening, and it's not a joke anymore. I've been dealing with this for over a month now, and absolutely pain. I wake up in pain. I literally wake up and I'm like, I'm still exhausted. I get all night of sleep, and I wake up in pain and just ready for more sleep. You know, that's not normal. I wasn't like that before the jab. I get it. People are afraid. People are afraid. It's scary times. We don't want to lose our comforts. You know, I took the jab not willing to lose my job so that I can lose my comfort. You know, like, I was part of that. I was part of that system, and I had to wake up the hard way. Oh, wow. All I can say is, this is my journey. I'm going to keep updating it because it's my right. It's my right to share this and make people aware, because this is not funny anymore. Government, wake up. Health system, wake up. It's time to look outside the box and be prepared, because we will talk. Our voices are strong. No matter how weak we feel. Oh, it's not cool. There's more to it. I can't really call because of mind fog. But I'll try and keep you updated as much as I can. Thank you for those who have shared so much love and just been there for me so much. I can't thank you all enough. I apologize if I can't message you back. It is hard a lot when I flare up and stuff to message. It is hard. That's why I can't do it all the time. I can have calmer moments, but, you know, like, things like walking at the moment flare me up, so it's really disabling, this whole thing. It really is. I don't know if you want to have any more, Steph, but yeah. Just, I leave you with love and light, and I hope you stay healthy and strong in these strange times.
I got my first Moderna shot, and then got really, really sick off that, so I decided Health Canada said it was okay to take two different ones, so I was able to take Pfizer, which I had, you know, no problems with at the time. But then what started happening is I became very anemic fast, and it started with iron deficiency, and then it finally started affecting all my blood work, so red blood cells, white blood cells, my hemoglobin mainly, enough to drop down to get a blood transfusion. I remember having a beautiful, wonderful summer. I was still anemic and tired, but this is come to the point now where the vaccine is so understudied that I don't know what's coming next. Like I said to my doctor the other day, like, is this going to be my last Christmas? I don't know, because I've had a blood transfusion. I have two types of anemia, macrocystic anemia and hemolytic anemia. My doctor has medically confirmed that it was the vaccine that has done this. I am exempt from further vaccines coming out, and I'm going to, because it's autoimmune, I'm going to discuss my son Oliver's 4 and he's turning 5, and there is zero chance that vaccine will ever get inside him. I had chest pain about 2 weeks ago, and I called the ambulance and they took me into the hospital, Chinook Regional Hospital, and I found out I had a pulmonary embolism and I've got my coup blocked. So that's another thing to add that's new. And things, just when you think things are getting better, oh, everything goes down and I need another transfusion. Like, it's exhausting. And it's exhausting having a four-year-old throughout the process. And I don't want to see my nanny raise my son.
And yeah, and like, you know, the palpitations, and it's like having a heart attack. It's just the thing for someone under 30 who's healthy. I don't drink, I don't take drugs, I don't even have caffeine. Like, it's just rubbish. But yeah, I mean, I'm not alone in that.
Trying to open your mouth.
Yeah.
So you're experiencing numbness in your tongue, in your lips.
Yeah.
Numbness and tongue in the lips. And it sounded like she started to have numbness in her tongue before all this happened as well. Maybe an hour ago. She's been, maybe 2 hours ago. And then she's probably been like this for, got fully locked jaw and numbness in lips and stuff. Yeah, at least 30 minutes now, so, yeah, this is kind of indicative of a lot of the numbness and stuff that's just getting in her legs, and just the cramping and stuff as well, like full tension in her legs and numbness. It's happening quite a lot, honestly, so it's
so I have been reluctant to make this video. I'm having some effects from the J&J shot. I have Bell's palsy, so I can barely move the left side of my face. And I have neuropathy in my feet. And it's been about a month since this started. I'm slowly getting better. I'm not trying to be the poster child for not taking a shot, but these are the effects and stuff that they're not talking about. And it's been really hard to work. It's been difficult and hard to eat, and I'm just going to keep people posted on my progress and see how it goes from here.
Hey, my name is Kyle Warner. I'm a professional mountain bike racer, and I took the Pfizer vaccine. My second dose was on June 10th, and about a month later, I developed pericarditis, which is swelling of the liner of the heart, as well as POTS and reactive arthritis. It's brought an end to my career as I know it, and a lot of my just day-to-day life has changed drastically. So we're out here at this event just kind of speaking out on vaccine injury and trying to get some acceptance from people that this is a real issue and that we're not trying to cause any drama or that we're fake in any way. We just want to try to get acceptance and know that this is a real thing, get some acknowledgement so we can have an honest discussion as a country. Because I believe where there is risk, there must be choice. That's how I feel. And the fact that they're hiding the risk from us, and, you know, I got coerced into doing this, doing my part, and I was injured in the vaccine. And yeah, just trying to help other people not make the same mistake. I would say the most striking thing about this whole experience has been just feeling alone, you know, and kind of being told that we don't matter or that we're crazy and that we're being sacrificed for greater good. And that's been really the hardest thing for me, is just knowing that there's so many other people that are hurting, and as soon as they try to speak up, getting things censored, getting things pulled down, or even just being told that we're lying, or trying to get famous, or trying to, you know, get some attention. People are called fakes all the time. People call people in wheelchairs fakes. They said, this is fake, this didn't happen to you, you guys are plants, government plants, trying to ruin things. And it's just like, what happened to us all being in this together and being one country and actually caring about each other? I think it's funny that people will attack me on both sides. Some people say that I'm not angry enough and I should be fully anti-vax. And then some people say that I'm too angry and I'm killing thousands of people by speaking out. You know, they're saying you're part of the problem, you're killing people by spreading information and transparency and actually being an honest person, just sharing my experience. I just think it's such a, it's so interesting where we're at as a country. That's been what's kind of stricken me the most, honestly. It's just, we used to, I feel like we used to have a common directive, and we are one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's what our whole thing says, and now we're completely divided, and if you get injured, then we don't want to hear about it. We don't want to take away from the greater good. So, I think the most positive thing, or the best thing I've taken from this whole experience, has been the resourcefulness of people, because all of us as injured people don't really have the resources right now, and we're not being listened to by doctors or mainstream media. People aren't really reporting on it, so there's this giant grassroots movement, and everyone is communicating so well of like, oh, what did you take? What treatment did you have? Oh, did that help you? You know, IVIG, monoclonal antibody, ivermectin, spinal taps, all these different things people are trying to do to get better. And it's just interesting to see the resourcefulness and the amount of doctors and people that are involved on a ground level that they're injured as well. So I think that's been the coolest thing to see, is that we as a grassroots movement can actually make a difference. And that's what I'm most hopeful for, is that it'll continue to make a difference. And as the boosters keep going, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 boosters down the road, this number of people is going to continue to grow, and hopefully we'll have some research laid as groundwork for people that get injured down the road.
Hasn't been an easy 10 weeks for me. As you can see, my head is still doing this weird ticking thing, can't control. I'm just about to go to London with my boyfriend to have my final treatment with Dr. Josh. He was very clear at the start that this might not work fully, but I'm about 5 days in now with no full body tremors, so in my eyes, it's honestly changed my life. So I'll keep you posted on how I'm get on, but hopefully this annoying head thing will stop within time, because it's quite hard to live with. And I can assure you this is very real, and definitely not that there are a lot of us suffering. And I'm just going to continue to use my voice the best I can to spread awareness over what this vaccine has done to me.
Sent me home last night, no meds, told me not to come back unless it was way worse, because I'm exposing myself to COVID, and if I haven't, I'm exposing everyone else, but they would know because they won't test me for it. So here's legit what they said. They found a 10 millimeter suspicious nodule in my right lung that will require seeing a specialist for, especially since my D-dimer was also elevated, but here's what their paperwork says from the ER. However, I am going to run out to work and get another rapid test, because I still think it's COVID, at least part of it's COVID. I don't know what's in my lung, but don't worry about that when I see specialists. I will post my results because the Heathrow ER sucks. So I just went up to work to get a rapid COVID test since the ER wouldn't test me last night. What do you know? Guess who has COVID-19? Fucking ER, swear to God.
To answer your question, shortness of breath, high blood pressure, irregular heartbeats, and blood clots. At some point, I'll make a video just to go over how my adverse reactions have worsened in the last 4 months. We're asking 2 specialists, And there's new findings, and after different testings and all of that. But I'll talk about that at another time. I hope this answers your question.
For all of your messages of love, it's definitely making me feel not alone. I'm currently just getting my NAD trip, and it's not about my second trip. As you can see, I'm all hooked up. I'm currently just working at the moment, so trying to utilize my time wisely. I've turned it down a little bit because my body just kind of reacts differently to it and really sends me off when I'm getting it. So, doing a solo trip today. So I'll let you guys know how it goes. I was starting to not feel so great, so I'm really excited that I was able to come back in and get this trip in this little bag.
This morning I had all these high hopes of like going up and going for a walk just to get some exercise, but I've been getting really bad heart palpitations the last couple of days, so because I've been forgetting to take some of my vitamins. I think maybe the inflammation around my heart's kind of flared up a little bit. Maybe I'm just not getting enough sleep.
Tuesday, I was healthy. I'm a happy person. Now Thursday, I'm confused. This arm went off the bed. This little feelings to him. And I can't even sit up. My whole body's on fire. It's like pins and needles. When somebody suddenly asks me a question, so I don't even know the answer. I have no idea. This is what happened when I took the vaccine. There are risks that they're not telling you about. On Tuesday, I was a happy, healthy, single mom of three, capable of doing anything on my own. And I went and got the vaccine at 6 p.m. from a mobile clinic, and I got the Pfizer. Within the first 5 minutes, I had an anaphylactic reaction, and was rushed to eMERGE, where they treated me with epinephrine and Benadryl and another steroid, and I woke up the next day. With pins and needles in my hands and in my feet. Within 15 minutes of being awake, I had pins and needles in my whole legs, in my whole body. The burning, the deep bone aches were so bad. I was in complete tears. The burning in my legs felt like there was candles being held to my hands. I couldn't lift my hands. They did a whole bunch of tests. At one point, I couldn't remember who I was, or what my name was, or where I was. Yesterday, the movement in my hands came back, but I've started to get migraines, still bouts of confusion. I see double. This morning, I had a migraine so bad I couldn't even lift my head up. My legs are on fire from my hips down. They're in tremendous pain. My heart randomly just beats super fast and super hard, and I can't catch my breath. I was fine before I had the COVID vaccine.
Joshua Henry, 14, died on the way to the Kumaka District Hospital after he collapsed about 90 minutes after taking the second dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. His father, Justin Henry, told the newsroom during a telephone interview that the teen went alone to take the vaccine at the Kamwata Health Center. According to his father, he was administered the second dose sometime between 13 hours and 14 hours. After he returned home, everything seemed fine. But then Joshua told his parents that his hands, lips, and other body parts started to darken. Not long after, he collapsed.
I haven't been updating because I've been so unwell. My neurological symptoms are so debilitating. There's not a day that goes by that I don't have immense head pressure to the point of not being able to function. Head pressure and dizziness and pain in my joints and pain in my head, and my neck is so stiff.
I can't see properly out of my eyes. I feel like I'm going to faint at all times. Fainting spells are still ongoing and I can't get the help I need. I still haven't had an MRI and I really need a lumbar puncture because it's really looking a mess. Like, I have a few seconds left, but that's what's been going
on. So I'm going to tell you a little story about the COVID shot. So I'm going to probably get kicked off TikTok for this, but it's fine. It's worth it, just so you know. So my son is going to be 17. He had COVID. I had COVID. My parents had COVID. We all lived this last year. Antibodies are going through the roof. They're raising. They're not decreasing. But my son, because Douchebag de Blasio decided it's mandated, you have the vaccine, he couldn't do anything. So he said, Mom, I want to get the shot. So I went when Pfizer was FDA approved, and I got the shot. Now I'm living with congestive heart failure, but guess what? A week later, I have AFib. Now I'm living with congestive heart failure and AFib. And when I went for the second shot to tell them what happened, they told me it was the 40th person that walked into that pharmacy that wound up with AFib from the shot. So before you get the jab, make sure you talk to your doctor, because it's dangerous.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, the update has to be like this, but it's the only time I got. It's not exactly what you think. Been sparked at work, and I have to come down, obviously, to the hospital and get checked, but I've been having terrible heart palpitations since 4 weeks after my first Pfizer. I mean, you guys know everything else, but they had to do the usual thing, ECG, and last 2 weeks ago it was supposedly getting better. My pericarditis is Pfizer, and they just informed me then it's still showing irregular. So it's been 5 weeks of colchicine and treatment, and it's still not better. Good note though, after getting sparked, the heart palpitation stopped, so there's a positive. It seems like here everyone is pretty over all this. They don't seem too concerned. They're just going to run some tests and make sure my cardiologist knows what's happening. Get back to it. Cheers.
I don't know how long this is going to be. It's just kind of a response to my last video that is obviously blowing up, which was my reaction to the COVID vaccine that I received. I'd gotten the Moderna. It was my second dose. I wasn't just being a sheep people. I do work in a hospital in an emergency room, but I also had my father, who was dying of a very aggressive form of cancer, who I wanted to be there for. He was a very important person in my life, so I did go through and get the vaccines and everything. He sadly passed away 2 days before I received the second vaccine. I got the second vaccine, went out to be there for his funeral and see my family be there, and came back. I'd been having pain and everything else, like my legs started hurting. I was at work, started feeling like they were bricks. I was sweating like crazy. It's impossible to walk around or do anything. Like, I just didn't feel good. Went into the bathroom, pulled my scrub pants down, and saw I had a whole bunch of bruises and everything on my legs. Eventually checked in there and everything to the same ER that I worked in, and they couldn't figure out at first. I was in the hospital for a little while. Had a whole bunch of tests done, had a bunch of biopsy, got severely infected because of all the sweating and everything that I was doing. Took a while. They eventually said that they believed that the vaccine caused me to develop a disorder called complex regional pain syndrome, which a lot of the symptoms and everything, the bruising, the swelling, a lot of different, sweating, turning red in places and everything, and just having severe pain, anything touching my skin. The bruises come and go. There's times where I have nothing. There's times where I have a whole bunch. There's times where I can walk. There's times where I need a walker. Everybody has a different reaction. Don't want to accuse people of, faking your stuff or whatever. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff out there. There's misinformation out there. There's real information out there. And I was just giving my story, or at least a piece of my story. I didn't even get to go and put all the things up before being attacked by people. I'm sorry to the people who have also had bad experiences and are being attacked by people. I'm sorry to those of you who feel that you need to yell at us for putting our stories out there too. It's only fair to listen to everybody's sides. Just because something happened to me doesn't mean that it's going to happen to you or to your family members. My kids both decided they still wanted to be vaccinated. It's their bodies, their choice. I gave them that right. I'll answer more questions if people actually want to ask them without being rude about them.
Yesterday I shared a video talking about my husband's recent myocarditis diagnosis. All I wanted to do was share our story. I want to be heard. Because we're not the only ones that are going through this right now. When that video reached 16,000 views this morning, this is what TikTok did. People who are going through hell and trying to speak up about it are being silenced. We're being pushed aside. You wonder why these stories aren't in the media? Censorship. They're trying to bury these stories, but it's happening, people. You need to stand up. People need to keep sharing their stories, no matter if somebody calls it a coincidence, and no matter if nobody is listening. Keep being loud, okay? Keep sharing. We need to stop the mandate.
But then with this, it's a totally different message, where the commercials on TV and the media that's kind of portraying this message is saying, do your part, get vaccinated, save lives. This is safe and effective, period.
Yeah, totally.
That's kind of the issue that we're seeing, is like, okay, well, if you're not acknowledging that there is a potential risk, then how is that science?
True. And also, what I was surprised to learn is that the unreported adverse events, which is being reported by you and Brianna and many others, they seem to fall, or they're pretty common.
Yeah, they're clustered.
They are clustered. So if for them, for it, for those events to be completely random and not be caused by the vaccine, which is the only common factor between you all, is also, you know, at any other time you would question that. You would say it seems more logical, let's investigate it. But not to even think about that is contradictory to the whole scientific process.
And kind of what she means by that is, we just went to D.C. and did this big press conference about vaccine injury, right? And almost every single person there is having issues with their heart. They're having neurological issues or neuropathy, issues with their nerves or spinal cord, and immune issues, autoimmune issues. So it's kind of three camps. You have people with heart issues, neurological issues or neuropathy, so burning, tingling sensations, or autoimmune issues, like what I have now, or my IgE level, which is the indicator of allergic reaction, is like off the charts high, and I'm now allergic to foods and things I never was before. So you're having three main things happening, and the fact that the only common denominator, we're from different areas of the country, we're from different races, ethnicities, all these different things, and the only thing common is we have these vaccines, and we're all developing heart, neurological, or allergic reactions.
Gets on here and says, oh, she deserved it, she's not vaccinated, whatever. Boom, roasted. So this is my second time since receiving that vaccination. The first time was about 3 weeks after my second dose that I had tested positive. And at that point, basically, I didn't have any symptoms. This time I do. Another funny thing is, since I'm vaccinated, guess what? I don't have to quarantine according to them. What? This is bizarre. They're just making shit up at this point. I'm trying to tell y'all. I had COVID naturally in January before the vaccination. And, you know, it is what it is. It sucks and whatnot. According to the studies that I've read from Israel, people that have previously been infected, when they get that vaccine, it is wiping out their natural immunities. And that's a study that I read about 2 months ago. And for me, it's looking like that's a big possibility. So I'll be damned if I'll be getting any booster. I am happy, though, that the FDA announced that, no, there's no boosters for all. So that's a good thing. But I'll tell you what, I'll be damned. They can come back and say, yeah, we need you to, nope, not doing it. And what's funny is everyone in my house, they had it in January. And the ones that are not vaccinated, this time their symptoms were less than 24 hours. So, I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. Anyhow, please don't worry. I do have enough common decency and sense to quarantine myself, which I will be doing because that's the right thing to do. That's just about what it is. Let's do things that make sense. So yeah, I would definitely like my gas money. No, actually, I want my gas money back for wasting my time and going and getting that damn vaccine.
And now on behalf of my daughter, Abby Aldo. Abby graduated from this very school 4 months ago. She was a perfectly healthy teenager. She played softball since she was 5 years old, was a Dominican cheer captain, and on the Lugo softball team. For her high school graduation, she planned a trip with her friend and her friend's family to Hawaii. They were all vaccinated. At the time, Hawaii had numerous restrictions. If you were not vaccinated, they made you take all kinds of tests. Against my better judgment, I allowed Abby to get the vaccine. Thinking I was protecting her if she was left by herself in quarantine in Hawaii and couldn't get home, then I couldn't get to her. But I was wrong. On March 31st, 2021, Abby was given the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. This was the only vaccine approved for her age group. After the vaccine was administered, Abby felt faint. She slept the rest of the day. The following morning, April 1st, Abby woke up not feeling well at all. She had a shift at work, and I told her, I don't think you should go to work today. I think you should just rest. But instead, she insisted on working. A few hours into her shift, we received a phone call from HR that Abby had fainted and was shaking uncontrollably to the point she couldn't walk. She was taken to the ER and rushed in. They immediately started running tests. She was given an IV with a cocktail of drugs until she was heavily sedated. She was having a neurological reaction, and no one had answers. Her final diagnosis was an adverse effect of the coronavirus COVID-19 vaccine. All of our questions and concerns were met with uncertainty. The doctors did not know. Could Abby's injuries get better? Could they get worse as she ages? Is this the early stages of Parkinson's? No one knows, and no one has any answers. Do you know why they don't know? There are no long-term studies available. Abby is in study, and it has been almost 7 months since Abby received the vaccine. Her right arm continues to shake. After exercise, with any weight-bearing exercise, it shakes uncontrollably. All student athletes were given the ultimatum. If they refuse to be vaccinated, they'll be thrown off the team. She would be requested medical exemption. It was denied. It was denied, and we were told, there's 200 vaccines to try. She would text, I am asking all of you tonight, do not allow our children to be guinea pigs. Allow parents to be.
Let's do a little story time for everybody. 1 week ago today, about this time, I went in and got the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. Almost immediately, I received some side effects, dizziness, weakness, pain in the arm, all normal side effects, right? Be better in a day or two. Flu-like symptoms, not a problem, right? Remember, this is 1 week ago. I don't know if you guys can see, but I'm not sitting at home enjoying myself. Been 1 week, and the doctors told me today I might go home. I might get to go home within the next 30 days. It has left me paralyzed.
Hi, everyone. How are you going? It's the 3rd of November. I'm just letting you know that I actually have been really good with my effort. My energy has been really good. I'm giving you a view of what my whole body looks like when it's kind of going off. I do need to take some medication to calm down a little bit, but I have been really good. I have been working a few days, been doing placement for tape a few days, but in the evenings, about 5 o'clock, I have to calm and sit on my bed and relax. And now, though, my body is a bit today, I have a lot more FND, as you can see. Alright, I just wanted to catch up and I'm safe.
Do you
change
from this to bounce?
Can I what?
Change from this movement to bouncing?
That's what I'm trying to do, actually. I'm trying to so I can do this, I can do that, and I can do that.
But you cannot stop.
Yeah, but I can't stop it. Yeah. I want to stand up right now. So I do this a lot. This keeps my balance, right? Because I never really established my balance, right? So if I keep moving, my body's always trying to adjust to its balance. But if I stop, I'll lose my balance because...
on me because my head, I'm having head issues. My head hurts a lot. Right now it doesn't. Luckily they gave me some painkillers just for tonight because they want to see how I'm monitoring, like how I'm doing on the painkillers. And they did some scans of my lungs and my heart because my heart's racing a lot and my lungs burn and at times. So everything came back normal, other than my spleen is enlarged, which I had just had a CT done a couple months ago, because of another issue I have, and my spleen was completely normal as of June 6th, and now it's enlarged. So there's definitely something going on. But the doctor told me that they just don't know. He's like, I just don't know. He was very sympathetic, but he was very honest with me that they just don't know enough about this vaccine to be able to help me. I am even finding something wrong with me. They just can do nothing. They can't do anything wrong with me. Even though I have stuff going on in my head.
I need to gather myself for a second. This, I'm going to warn you, is going to disturb you. What you're about to see is going to really disturb you. It has broken me. This is exactly why I started talking about what's happened to me. This is exactly why. This didn't have to happen. This baby's mother was vaccinated because they said it was safe for pregnant women. And now look at this baby. When will you wake up? Now it's our children. Our children. And that baby's gonna suffer for the rest of its life. And I know how I feel from these shots. I can't imagine that baby going through because they can't talk and they can't tell you what's wrong. It's gotta stop.
So I got my third dose of the Pfizer booster vaccine on Sunday. And on Monday, by about 10:30 in the morning, I was having body aches and pains and chills and stuff. Pretty bad. I went home. Then that night, I could not stay awake. I was having fevers, still the chills, still the body aches. Yesterday, body aches and pains. But by the afternoon, I thought I was doing pretty good. Woke up this morning, and I have sores all inside my mouth. The fever is back. I still have the body aches. Massive migraine. As much as I love my shots, I fucking hate the side effects.
Only 11 is following the recovery of a Bethel Park woman who became paralyzed hours after getting the COVID vaccine. And she's now home and you can see right there, she has to use a walker. Channel 11's Jillian Hartman shows us how else her life has changed.
Every day that I work hard, I'm going to get closer to being whole. I hope.
It's been almost 3 weeks since 33-year-old Rachel Cecere got the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine. 12 hours later, she was paralyzed from the neck down. Now her upper body strength is back, except for her left hand.
You're like, when I try to at least pick my daughter up to put her on my lap, my left hand just doesn't feel the strength to be able to get her.
Cecere is a single mom, and her 3-year-old daughter, Bristol, has been her motivation to recover. Right now, she's doing occupational and physical therapy at Jefferson Hospital.
And it's discouraging not having the sensation or the feelings in my legs. It's just difficult for me to kind of grasp and understand, like, when is this going to get better?
Cecere has been able to move her left leg, but not her right, so this brace and knee support keep her legs straight.
With that, I can get around with the walker, and I have a cane for small distances.
Cecere was treated at the Cleveland Clinic.
I was told by the team of neurologists, I was told multiple times that the diagnosis was an acute distress to the nervous system brought on by the COVID-19 vaccine Pfizer.
However, she showed us her discharge papers and nothing in her diagnosis mentions the COVID-19 vaccine. A local infectious disease doctor said the diagnosis is very vague.
It doesn't sound like they are willing to attribute it to the vaccine or any specific medical diagnosis.
We reached out to Pfizer again. They said they take adverse events very seriously. However, at this time, our ongoing review has not identified any safety signals with paralysis in the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. I'm Jillian Hartman, Channel 11 News.
So that's your proof, okay? I'm replying to this comment again because the previous video I deleted because I didn't feel comfortable posting my medical information for everybody to see. But here I am again doing that, so... And for those of you asking why is she being sarcastic and silly, well, here's why. I am fed up with being insulted and victim shamed over sharing a real experience. The fact that you guys lack compassion says a lot about you as a human being. The fact that you lack compassion illustrates that you're brainwashed by whatever information you're feeding your brain. That's all I have to say. It doesn't reflect me, it reflects you.
Just got my first dose of the COVID vaccine, and it wasn't my choice. I've never felt so forced to do something in my life. I was kicked off the transplant list for a kidney. Medicare is threatening to drop me as a patient. And two doctors have denied me because I was not vaccinated. So now I am. And I'm not happy about it.
So I got Moderna 5 days ago. So that's why I'm here.
We have an update today. Yay! My heart's doing okay. We had an echocardiogram yesterday and it's doing good. There was a lot of swelling all over. Internally, it was pretty bad. Fluid was pressing on my lungs. There were nodules forming. Couldn't breathe. I felt like I was in a cloud. I still kind of do. A lot of swelling, a lot of, like I said, a lot of bruising. I'll be showing a few pictures. So it's been determined that the Moderna vaccine did, in fact, cause this to happen. And I would beg anybody not to get it. Don't, unless you're forced, like I was.
My COVID vaccine reaction update. For those of you who don't know, after my Pfizer vaccine, I started getting pins and needles and tingling feelings in my arms, legs, mouth, and also some twitching. It kind of comes and goes, some days better than others. Sometimes it switches parts of my body. It's really weird. But on Monday, I started to lose control of my bladder. So my doctor sent me to the emergency room where I was admitted and they ran a lot of tests. I got two MRIs, I had a spinal tap yesterday, lots of labs. The team there, if anyone's seeing this, like, you guys were great. Thank you. Everyone was very thorough. And their main concern was damage done to my central nervous system, which I do not have any damage done to my central nervous system, but they did say I have something called peripheral neuropathy, which is like the outside of your central nervous system, like your hands, legs, feet, whatever. So, and peripheral neuropathy is caused from anything from diabetes to an injury to viruses to exposure to toxins. I'm still trying to get like real direct answers on everything. So all I can kind of do is wait it out. They said it'll go away on its own, and I follow up with a neurologist outpatient where they want to do more testing for the peripheral nervous system. So that's where we're at. We just wait for it to clear up and follow up with neuro outside. And this whole thing has been very emotionally. I feel like I'm like disconnected or something. I don't know. I'm like emotionally, I don't know. This is just wild. So my back hurts, my spinal tap, so I'm laying here flat.
Only because I got a lot of messages on my inbox and messenger regarding the Pfizer vaccine and the second dose that I received and what had happened to my legs. I posted pics and I see my post has been shared many, many times. So that's a good thing. But also the bad thing is the effects that people have messaged me saying that the pics are not real. I Googled the pictures. This can't be real. It's doctored. It's manipulated. I put these marks there. No, they're not anything that I could do. I'm not that technical. I'm 55 years old. I don't start playing around and manipulating pictures. So I figured I would show you guys my legs today. I had the vaccine on June 21st, the second dose. When I had the first dose, I had nothing, no problems, no marks, no nothing to do with my immune system or anything. Was my skin was compromised. This is my effects today, just to show you. This is my legs. I usually scratch myself to bleed, not on purpose, but, you know, I'm using the cream. So these things flake all day long. I got flakes probably where I'm sitting right now. They're going to probably be flaking. I got flakes in my car. I got white flakes from my skin in my bed. I also have these marks on the side of my body here. Things that I've never had before. I'm a person that likes to wear shorts in the summer. I haven't worn shorts at all this summer. I've only worn jeans or sweatpants. This is also the cream that one of my skin doctors prescribed to me. He was hoping that it would work for me, but unfortunately, $222 down the drain does nothing. I also have, I see a lot of people that have posted of excessive scratching and nothing happens. I have just over here in my body, just like below right here, I can scratch excessively here like crazy while I'm just watching TV, driving in the car. I'm standing here walking, I get a weird tingling sensation right there on the right hand side, nowhere else. But that is the only place that I scratch. So I just wanted to put out this message. Not saying that you shouldn't get the vaccine. Everyone is different. My wife had both doses and she's fine. My children both had both doses. They're both fine. So I'm not saying not to get vaccinated, but I know today our governments are putting a lot of strain on us to get vaccinated. To the point that, you know, they're threatening our jobs, threatening to be able to go to a restaurant here in Montreal. This is where I live. So, I mean, I know it's a tough time for a lot of us. And, you know, I'm suffering with this right now. I'm going to be starting Silique injections in the next week, which are very expensive injections to counteract the plaque psoriasis that the skin doctor said has now come out due to the vaccine. But I can't go on in my life, like, not being able to wear shorts and, you know, being embarrassed and hearing anybody say, like, God, that's gross. So, you know, it is gross. Thankfully, I have enough confidence to put out this video and show other people. I have a lot of confidence in general. I'm a confident guy. But I just wanted people to know that this is very much real. And they weren't pictures that I Googled anywhere. Anyways, that's it. Stay safe, and thank you for watching. And hope no one else experiences this type of side effects, or any side effects, for that matter. We should all stay safe and healthy. Thank you.
So, oddly enough, a patient that had the vaccine is now having some reaction to it. So, you know, it's sad. It's really, I don't understand. Nobody else is asking you know, antibodies. How come we're not testing for antibodies to see if people have natural immunity to this? We have no idea how long natural antibodies last, and we have no idea how long the vaccinated antibodies last. We do, however, know that more and more people are having a reaction to this vaccine, and here's how they're skewing the data. This is what I heard from one of the top three vaccines person today. They're skewing the data because if they have reactions after 7 days, they're not counting that. It's not a reaction. Reactions are within the first 24 to 48 hours. I could tell you today, young lady came in with swollen lymph nodes, headache, fatigue, had her shot last month, and her lymph nodes are now like the size of grapes, all of them. So we're sending her for studies, diagnostic studies. I mean, all of this is new. All of this is new medicine. Like, what do? Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about when they get a vaccine, how they're treating patients that have you know, effects. You know, I had a lady that came in with Bell's palsy the other day. I have a young girl that came in yesterday. She can't walk, she can't eat, she can't do anything. She's so depressed, she can't function. And they're saying she's a psych case. No. She was a perfectly young, healthy girl before she got the vaccine. Why can't people take ownership that there's something wrong? There's something going on.